Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow. Mad cow. Mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on the first Friday of December. QT and Sign Guy with you like usual. Some show notes before we jump into things today. If you're looking for some pro wrestling, tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis as usual. 3-2-1 battle in our neck of the woods in Seattle, Washington. MCW in Joppa, Maryland. ECW featuring Terry Funk in Wilmington, California. Good Slam in Oakland, California. ECCW in Pitt Meadows, British Columbia. BLPW in Crown Point, Indiana. And Warriors of Wrestling happening in Brooklyn, New York tonight. Tomorrow night, Hoosier Pro Wrestling in Columbus, Indiana, like usual on the first Saturday of the month. EWF having a reunion show in Converse, Indiana. AIWF in Munford, Alabama. AWF in Glendale, Arizona. Revolt Wrestling in Yuma, Arizona. ACW in Port Richey, Florida. GPW in Rossville, Georgia. The RWF in Marinsville, Indiana. XWE in Salinas, Kansas. AWF in Wyoming, Minnesota. MMWA in St. Louis, Missouri. Warriors of Wrestling returning in Staten Island, New York. NAWA in Enos, Texas. OCW in Canton, Ohio. The NWWA in Portland, Oregon. DPW featuring Casey Carlisle and Aylett, Virginia. And WCWC kicking off their huge 24-hour Hunger Slam event tomorrow. It runs through Sunday. Definitely plenty of time to catch some WCWC. So wherever there is wrestling near you, get out there and support your local independent wrestling. Without further ado, I would like to welcome back to the show someone that we haven't had on in a few months. He's back with us. Randy Zellers, welcome back.
Hey, it's glad to be back, fine guy, QT. And it's really a great honor to be on Turnbuckle Turmoil. And I'd like to put this one out there. There will be some Northwest Pro Wrestling action at the Key Peninsula Civic Center December 9th. Doors open at 6:30. Showtime is at 7 o'clock, where you'll be seeing the Z Team putting up their tag team titles in their first title defense against two of the members of the House of Pain. And we don't know which ones will come out.
You brought up Northwest Pro right away, and when we were last talking, you had become a champion there at Northwest Pro. You're now the tag team champion. You're tearing things up over there in Vaughn. What's it been like the last several months of the career tearing things up there at Northwest Pro?
I'll tell you this. Northwest Pro is the definition of protecting your craft, improving every day, and having fun. I mean, the fans out there are something else. I mean, there's a couple fans out there who actually cheer on the heels and through the baby faces. It's very diverse and it's extremely entertaining. I mean, sometimes I just want to be a fan to sit by some of them fans and watch the Northwest Pro action. That's how you know Northwest Pro rolls these days, and I'm loving every minute of it.
I've become a tag team title holder, and you have been a tag team member several times throughout your career. You've had several different partners, but you've also held championship gold as a singles competitor, and you've had several different runs as a single. Do you personally have a preference of being a singles wrestler or a tag team wrestler?
I really don't have no preference in the matter because I've been in the business for a long time now, and pretty much, you know, it's all the same. And what my coach told me was, you know, take it in stride, you know, there's sometimes you'll be wrestling singles and a good time that you'll be wrestling tag team. You know, the only thing that my coach told me to do was treat your tag team partner with the utmost respect. You'll get along with anybody just fine, just who you are. And I took that real seriously, and Mikey Z, he's my tag team partner. I have to tell you, that kid has came a long ways too. And for him to come move to Fort Archer from Pasco, you know, just to protect his crap, that really told me, hey, now that's a good kid to be a tag team partner with, you know. I mean, as I'm teaching him, he's actually teaching me. And I'm very blessed to have him as a tag team partner.
Oh, today is the first day of December, like I said in the opening. We've got around 11 nights before we kick off the Hanukkah season. There are 24 days until Christmas. Among wrestling fans, wrestling merchandise is almost always on the wish list for Christmas gifts and Hanukkah gifts. I'm sure your fans would love to have some Randy Zeller's memorabilia. Do you currently have any type of merchandise that people can buy the Randy Zeller fans on their gift-giving needs list?
Right now we're processing. Well, we're on the verge of trying to get some kinks worked out so that we can sell some more Z-Team T-shirts. And that's pretty much about it. I mean, you can come by to the NWP show. You can buy autographed pictures of me or Mikey Z or together. You know, we can probably sweeten up a good deal for that. But that's all really for merchandise wise that I got right now.
Well, I'm sure the fans will take what they can get.
Indeed.
If you go back in your mind to the very first time you sold a Z-Team T-shirt to a fan, what was that moment like for you when someone paid you money to have a piece of memorabilia of yourself?
To tell you the truth, I took it as a badge of honor that someone would just up and just there's plenty of shirts. They chose to pay their hard-earned money for my T-shirt. I took that as a blessing.
Now, in wrestling in the last several days, there was a controversial thing that happened. There was a show in which Austin Aries did not like the ring that was in use. He felt it was below standards, and he grabbed a live microphone to let the fans know what he thought of the ring itself. It became something of a controversial topic. I know that you've been on shows where there's been a wide range of different rings. Some are good, some are bad on the independent level. Have you ever, in your career, ever been in a situation where you thought your personal safety was at risk due to the shape of the ring you were in?
Well, you know, I'll take a page from one of the most hated guys in America, a.k.a. our president, saying that, you know what you signed up for. And I mean, as when you get into something, I mean, it could be anything. It could be a relationship. It can be in a car. You know what you paid for. You knew going in that, you know, in a wrestling ring, you know, like even going into somebody's, I mean, going to somebody's house, you know what you signed up for. You know, you went in, like you went in there knowingly going in. I mean, I just treat the ring as someone else's house. I mean, that's just something that you just don't make fun of or talk smack about on the live mic. I personally think that he was, a promotion deserves. I mean, if it's a bad ring, yeah, of course that promoter should be called out, but not out in public. You know what I'm saying? I agree with you. The wells are bad and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, if the promoter knows that, you know, that it's a bad ring and you're still using it, of course you're putting people's careers in your hand in jeopardy. But it doesn't need to be brought out, you know, so the fans can hear it. Because that can just tarnish a promotion right then and there.
Absolutely. Now, you've been in many, many matches in your career, both tags and singles like we discussed.
Yep.
To date, what would you say has been the longest match in which you participated?
My longest match had to have been, it has to have been with Northwest Pro. And I remember longest match was at the Tattoo Parlor in Port Orchard. And it was me and the chef, Mark Ferguson. It was a bull rope match. One of the first matches that was like a stipulation, you know, that was like the one of the first matches like that I've ever been encountered for. And that was the longest match that I had.
Now, one of the other things that you've taken part in your career is wrestling seminars. We get a lot of people that come up to the Pacific Northwest and hold seminars. Everybody from Kevin Sullivan to Joey Ryan to B-Boy to Chief Atakulakula has ran seminars in our region. I know you've done a few of those. In general terms, do you think that the independent wrestlers get a lot out of the seminars when guys that have been to television and have been on the national touring companies give these seminars?
Oh yeah. You know, I mean seminars for me, I mean, a seminar is like another day of training, but it's going like in depth with the training, you know, the people that are giving the seminars, they want to see where you're at in a level of competition. I mean, I can tell you, hands down, B-Boy, it has to be a toss-up between three people, B-Boy, Jeff Cobb, and, oh, yeah, J.D. Mason and Chuck Payne. Oh, Lord. All three of those guys, man, I mean, guaranteed, if you can't handle yourself, you're guaranteed you're going to puke. None of us puked. But actually, in Bad Blood, Black Bad Blood gave me a one-on-one seminar,
Man, I thought I was going to die. But hands down, all of them know their, all four of them know their stuff. They know what they're talking about. And they all have that key ingredient. They got a big heart and a big love for the business. I mean, I can go on and on about B-Boy. B-Boy had us just running out the ring, running like down and ups, you know what I'm saying? Go up, down, oh man. It was grueling. Everyone survived. And I tell you this much, I still to this day, I always thank B-Boy for training us the way that he did. Jeff Cobb, same way. Jeff Cobb is just that big tank. It's just that big tank that just bulldozes through everybody. J.D. Mason, he's more of conditioning and psychology. And if you're willing to, if you know how to take criticism, then, you know, J.D. Mason, he's right up the alley with major pros. And so is Chuck Kane, and so is Bad Blood. And they all have, and all of them have been there and done that. And actually, J.D. Mason, he was one of the main reasons why I've gotten so much better in the ring. He's the main reason. And, oh, man. Yeah, I'm starting to sound like a mark, but I don't care. This is my time.
Well, we have hit the part of the show where we have a game we like to play. It's called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. The way it works, I will give you a series of two options, and the one that you most prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a game of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Boots or shoes and kick pads?
Shoes and kick pads.
Powerbomb or DDT?
DDT.
Gene Okerlund or Gene Anderson?
Gene Okerlund, hands down.
Martini or mimosa?
Mimosa.
Garfield or peanuts?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Garfield.
Fishing or water skiing?
Ooh, never tried water skiing, but I have done fishing, so we're going to go with fishing.
Ring robe or ring jacket?
Ring jacket.
Barbed wire match or bull rope match?
Bull rope match.
The final one, AJ Styles or AJ Lee?
AJ Styles.
All right. Well, obviously you're still very active right now in the ring, holding championships and wrestling great matches. But as we look down the road several years, when you decide to hang up the boots, have you ever considered getting into the promotional end of professional wrestling?
Oh, I thought about that, and actually, I thought about commentating. I thought about, actually, I did a role. I did a general manager-type announcer role. I did that at our current hardcore show, which is on channel HGPL11 on YouTube.
What is it about commentating that kind of caused you to think of that as something to keep in the business when you decide not to be an active participant?
Well, because it's like I can still sit down and I can actually talk a little smack. crack some people up. I mean, I just after watching like great ones like, you know, Jim Ross, let's see here, CM Punk did it for a while and then I thought he was good at it. Michael Cole, Byron Saxon. But I didn't want to be, but like with Byron Saxon, you know, he tried to be a wrestler, didn't quite cut it, but he was made for the business. But everyone got to step in the business one way or another. I don't believe in telling people or saying people that they suck or nothing like that. That's not my business. That's not how I conduct anything. And promoting, I've seen what, like, a couple promoters go through. I see some of them get stressed out at times. And, you know, okay, like, okay, this guy no-showed or this guy ain't coming. What do we do? And I don't really believe in burying talent or telling wrestlers that they suck. I mean, if I have, you know, if there's someone who just quite couldn't get it, I mean, get that wrestler to improve one way or another. Don't tell them that they suck or they lazy, don't want to pay their dues or, you know, because there's a lot of wrestlers out there that want to pay their dues. But at the same time, you know, there's some wrestlers that want to pay their dues that got a love for the business, but they're just not really having that it factor or their thirst for opportunity, but opportunity just never come for them.
One of the things that has historically has always been a big success in pro wrestling is holding shows on military installations. Not quite as common as it has been in previous years, but there's still a lot of shows that come to military bases to entertain the troops. WWE always puts on their annual tribute to the troops, which is something they promote very hard on television. Have you yourself had the opportunity to compete on a show held on any of the military bases?
Actually, there's a few shows that NWP put on for the military academy. That's just for like adolescent kids. If juvenile hall is not an option, but like if they can get some of those kids off of the, you know, juvenile hall and go to a little military school, that's where we usually put our shows at. And Anthony Abbs actually was the counselor over there, and he set everything up, and so all the rest of us guys go and load the ring up, you know, set the ring up. And the cadets, actually, they're all good kids. Actually, there are some great kids out there. And put on the show for them, and they are just entertained. They love it. I mean, I had a good time. Our last Academy show, I wrestled Kick and Nick. And what was so funny about that was Kick and Nick shows up. I mean, he walks down the aisle. And then I go and I walk down the aisle with my karate gi on. You know? It was kind of like Ken versus Ryu type match. And we did really well. At that match, none of us messed up. None of us blew our spots. In Kickin' Nick, that was one of his last matches because, you know, due to protocol, you know, the Army called him up saying, hey, we need you to go do this, blah, blah, blah. And so hopefully Kickin' Nick will make his way over here sometime soon. Because we got some more business to finish. we got some unfinished business, excuse me.
Well, this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know QT has questions for you, so let's help you as I pass things over to QT.
All right. Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Randy.
Hey, what's happening, QT?
Oh, not too much. Randy, we usually start out the second half of our show with a standard question. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you've received in the ring?
Knife-edge chop? Yeah, that's what gives me flashbacks. Actually, it was in a battle royal when I made my NWP debut. I don't know who I was beating up on. I was whooping up on somebody. And then here comes J.D. Mason, put me in the corner and said, "Welcome to NWP. Pow! I mean, the echo was loud. I think my chest was, like, purple for, like, a week and a half. I mean, I couldn't even, I mean, when I was working at the manufacturing company, I mean, one of my friends came up to me and kind of socked me in my chest, and I was just like, no. She was like, what happened? And so I showed her. She was like, oh, my God, who gave you that? And I was like, you can say in the NWP.
Wow. Now, how did you do in that battle royal?
Actually, I did pretty well. I was beating the stank out of some folks. Then after that, I decided to go out to Chuck Payne, and I brought the fight to Chuck Payne, and all of a sudden, I got eliminated from somebody. I got eliminated. I was like, dang it. Yeah, and it was for the NWP heavyweight title. And what was so funny about that was, as soon as I got that chop, I was down. I was pretty much down for the count. I thought I was going to get eliminated. Then all of a sudden, No More Heroes just came up, snuck up behind JD and threw him out. And then everyone was just paused there for a minute, like, what happened? You know, I was just recovering. I was like, oh, snaps, title on the line now. Now everyone's trying to get that brass ring. And who ended up winning that battle royal was the chef, Mark Ferguson, ended up winning that match and got that brass ring.
Oh, wow. What would have happened if you found yourself down to the last man with Chef? Do you think you would have recovered in time from that knife-edge chop to give Chef the serious challenge?
Oh, I would have recovered, but I think with one of Chef's chops, I think I would have been done for.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Have you ever received a knife-edge chop from Casey Spinelli?
No, actually, I haven't. But I heard that she can give out some chops as well. I heard that around the campfire.
Yes. Oh, what campfire? What campfire?
What campfire? I think it was the campfire in Paulsboro.
Oh, all right. I take campfires literally. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well,
yeah, and actually. Oh, and actually, shoot, and I saw some Casey Spinelli on Impact a few weeks ago. I was like, oh shit, that's the homie. Shoot, I was as happy as heck that someone that wrestled in the Northwest and wrestled in my neck of the woods made it.
Oh, well, we've recently had some Northwest wrestlers go to Puerto Rico and do very well. Yes.
Yeah. And that there is, I'm like, that's awesome and everything else. And I mean, hey, if you got the sponsorship or if you got the opportunity to go, I'm all for it. But me, hey, I got that 9-to-5, so I just can't, like, you know, pack up my stuff and go. I got an 11-year-old daughter that needs her daddy.
And we've also had some wrestlers go to Japan recently.
Yeah, Jeff Cobb was one of them, actually. I saw him
teaming up with Michael Elgin, and man, he is just throwing people around like some rag dolls, and I'm like, oh yeah. And that, yeah. Yeah, and that guy is something else too. And actually, he's a really good dude to like to sit down and talk with and to brain a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. I could imagine. Yep. He's really articulate. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, he is.
Well, Randy, did you grow up in Washington State? And if so, did you go out for high school sports?
Yes, I did. Actually, I wrestled and I played lacrosse for a few years. When I got to high school, I seen like all the other kids was like 5'7" plus. So I was like, ooh, I know I ain't gonna get no playing time from this one. So I kind of gave up on football because my last football game that I played as a freshman, you know, my shoulder, I was just heading in there to get the quarterback, and then all of a sudden I saw this big green jersey and knocked me on my tail. I mean, the best thing about that was it was my old PE teacher's nephew, and he actually helped me up. And I took myself out of the game, and I let all the younger kids, you know, I was just politicking all them in.
Wow, a PE teacher, huh?
Yeah, she was my weightlifting teacher. Yep, her name was Miss Maury.
All right, well, did you know that the rock group Lynyrd Skynyrd, they named themselves after their own high school PE teacher, who was named Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Wow. Wow. Wow, yeah. Hey, that must have been a damn good teacher to name a group after him. That must be, yep, that is a damn good teacher.
Yes, rumors is he was like the gym teacher on Beavis and Butthead, that type of gym teacher.
Oh, shoot. Yep, I remember him very well. Kick me in the Jimmy Butthead.
Yes, that's true. Okay.
Yep, well, ex-Marine, Devil Dog, yep.
Now, Randy, are there any truths to the rumors out there that you were rooting for the Huskies in the Apple Cup?
Oh, yeah, I'm a diehard Huskies fan, and yeah, because I was like actually one of my, if I had the books and all that stuff, I would have head straight to UW, no questions asked.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, my daughter's a Huskies fan too. Oh, my daughter's a Huskies fan, and her mom's a Huskies fan, and her stepdad is a Cougars fan. Oh man, I would just love to have seen his face after that Python hot ass whooping that the Huskies gave to the Cougars.
Randy, did you know that World War II fighter pilot Happy Boyington, a fighter ace, went to the University of Washington, and he was on their swim team and wrestling team. Happy Boyington.
Oh, wow. Happy Boyington. Yeah, that was the one back then that UW had a wrestling team, but I don't know why they cut it.
There's a lot of Pac-12 teams that cut the wrestling team. I think the only one that I know of is the University of Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon, yep. And I remember going to a wrestling seminar, and Les Gutches went to the University of Oregon, and he actually came out to my old junior high school, and it was a real good treat to have him, you know, come out, and same as his brother Jason Gutches, came on out, you know, showed us some moves, showed us, you know, the skill set of collegiate and freestyle wrestling.
Didn't Les make it to one of the Olympics?
Yes, he did, right with Kurt Angle.
Oh, okay, 96.
Yep.
Wow, all right. Wow, okay. Jeez.
Yep, and I think his brother was on the Goodwill Games.
Oh, gee, okay. All right. Let's catch us, yeah. All right.
Yep.
Well, Randy, I'd like to expand on the song, guys, Bring On The Choice, Bring On The Funk, where you have a choice between two subject matters. Are you ready to play the expanded version?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. All right. George the Animal Steel or King Kong Bundy?
Ah, George the Animal Steel.
All right.
Crowd favorite.
Okay. Front face lock or Russian leg sweep?
Russian leg sweep.
Wendy Richter or Joan Jett?
Can you repeat that again?
Wendy Richter or Joan Jett?
Oh, Wendy Richter.
Okay. Leapin' Lanny Poffo or Lou Fez?
Lou Fez.
All right. Cherry pie or pumpkin pie? All right. Shane O'Mac or Stephanie McMahon?
Shane O'Mac.
Al Bundy the actor or Roddy Roddy Piper the actor?
Al Bundy the actor.
Oh, okay. Now, is it true that one of your favorite episodes is when Al went to Las Vegas with his family and Peg ran up the credit card and Al Bundy had to wrestle Big Mama of Gro? Was that one of your favorites?
Yeah, yeah, that's one of my favorites. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I liked it when Big Mama leapt from the turn the top turnbuckle and Al Bundy turned his head and said, "Good night."
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Very good. Okay. All right. Jimmy Wang Yang or Eric Young?
Ah, that's a tough one. Eric Young.
All right. Recipient of a Rikishi stink face or recipient of a root canal without Novocaine?
Ooh, I think I'll take the stink face.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, hey, even though it's too much booty in the face, but no one else delivers a better stink face than the chef Mark Ferguson.
Oh, wow, okay. Yes.
Yeah, so I was like, hey, I'll take that any day. A root canal with no Novocaine, Nope, you're going to have to pay me for that one.
Wow, all right. Okay. Whew. All right. Jimmy Hart or Jim Cornette?
Ooh, okay. I'll pause right there. Is it true that Jim Cornette prejudice?
Is he what?
Is that Jim Cornette's prejudice? Because
yes,
I always listen to his shoots and everything else. And I don't know why I like his shoots. Yeah, it's better when he shoots on people. It's cool because I kind of noticed that because he never managed any black wrestlers.
Oh, now you see, I think he would have been a great manager of the Harlem Heat.
Yeah, I think so too. He would have been a better manager at that. But
yes.
Hey, now for the South, Jimmy Hart, he can talk. But Jim Cornette,
yes.
I like his work. But don't like his personality.
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, and
yep.
The last item of Bring On The Choice, Bring On The Funk, pan-seared Chilean sea bass or brook trout almondine?
Brook trout almondine.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right. Have you ever had brook trout almondine in a Tacoma restaurant?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. All right.
I had it in Canada.
Oh, how'd that turn out?
It actually wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a Okay. Not too many of our guests have tried brook trout almondine. Okay. It's very refreshing. Okay. Well, Andy, we also play a game on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Word Association, and you say the first word that pops into your mind when a wrestler is mentioned, and I have four wrestlers. Are you ready to play this game?
Yes, I am.
All right, the first one, Frankie Flawless.
Excellent worker. Yeah, Frankie Flawless, excellent worker.
All right. Okay. Dipola Dabashi.
A wrestler that should go and get his license and get that money.
Wow, all right, getting the green, okay. Aaron Bolo.
Aaron Bolo, he should come out of retirement.
Wow, all right. Well, with that many concussions, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, or at least a coach or something, because he still has a lot to give to the wrestling business. He still has a lot of knowledge to pour out.
He does, yes, I agree. Okay, and the last one, Emily Wacaressa. Waraxa, yes.
Waraxa. A phenomenal worker.
Oh, okay, worker, okay, very good. All right. Well, Randy, Gregor Petrov retired last week at BCW after the main event in which he lost to JB Moonshine. Let's say 20 years from now when you retire, do you plan to leave your boots in the ring? Because the ones Gregor Petrov left look pretty expensive.
Oh, hey, you know, I mean, every dog has his day, and, I mean, today is not mine, but he went out on a good note. He went out on a good note. He wrestled his last match, and he fought his last match. And, you know, JB Moonshine got the best of him. And, you know, hey, I can see, probably 10, 20 years down the road, hey, he may want to come out of retirement and wrestle JB.
That's true. Or I could see Gregor Petrov being a referee. Yes.
Referee? I don't think a referee would fit his forte. I would say probably smacking up some young kids and training them. Now that would be definitely be up his alley.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Well, Randy, the Cleveland Browns are currently 0-10. Well, maybe 0-11. If you were a motivational speaker, what are three bullet points you would like to take up with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I'll tell you this much. All you guys can be replaced.
Oh.
I mean, all you guys can be replaced, you know, because there's a lot more hungrier kids out there who will love to take those spots and make the Cleveland Browns and get the Cleveland Browns out of the joke and into winning contention.
I will try to pull some strings and get you as a nose guard on the Cleveland Browns. I'll try to pull some strings.
All right. Yeah, because I mean, just like you remember like way back in the 90s, where people were ashamed of wearing Seahawks gear.
I don't think they were ever really ashamed. They never wore paper bags over their heads.
No, never did. But I'm just saying that, like, I mean, where I grew up, you know, I mean, everyone rooted for other teams and not for the home team. And now today, you know, we're that winning contention team. And I would like to see the Cleveland Browns get out of that rut
and be at least a winning team, or at least, you know, give out of, I mean, just make your fans believe that you can go out there and you can go out, I mean, go out there and get the job done.
Yes, like Cincinnati, they're in contention. Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati's in contention. I know the Seahawks are in the hunt, which they should have been in the wild card. But, you know, hey, what can I say? If they didn't make it this year, I'm still going to root the Hawks on because that was, you know, that's my team. That's what I grew up on. You know, win, lose, or draw. But I'll tell you this much. Oh, excuse me. But the Raiders, their fans are so loyal. Even if they don't even win a game, they still have the confidence, like, yeah, you know what, the Raiders will get it next year. I mean, truth, I mean, the Raiders really had their chance and their opportunity last year. But when their quarterback got hurt, that just really sucked. I mean, that just really was like, wow, because they had the team, they had the it factor. But, you know, things do change. You know, people get hurt. People, you know, get suspended. And hey, I just hope the Raiders make it to the playoffs. I mean, the team that wasn't really doing too good was the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes, I think it's safe to say that there are some fans out there in the Northwest, like at BCW with Bob Hardy, that are like Raider fans. Bob Hardy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Bob Hardy is a Raiders fan. My brother-in-law is a Raiders fan, and so is Paul Preston and Chuck Kane. They're both Raiders fans. And when they got Marshawn Lynch, you know, I was like, oh, shoot, here we go. I mean, the first couple games that the Raiders played, Marshawn reminded me when he was in Seattle, kicking ass, running people over, taking names.
Kind of like Bo Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, man, but you know what? Ain't nobody in the world can compare to Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was just a superhuman that should have gotten a Super Bowl ring. Tons of them.
Actually, Earl Campbell matched up very well with Bo Jackson. Earl Campbell.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Bo Jackson, he also played professional baseball, and him and Deion Sanders were the only two athletes that played professional sports in their primes. I mean, I remember Michael Jordan tried to do it, but he got bumped down the minor league baseball hall. Even though I'm not laughing about it, hey, at least he's playing a sport. And I thought, you know, I deeply thought that Russell Wilson was going to be that next one, but, you know, hey, football paying him way too much money to play
That's
football.
True, yes. Okay.
You know, I mean, when money really became a factor in the 2000s and up, you didn't see a double professional athlete. And
yes,
I seriously thought that, yeah, and I thought old Laurinaitis, I mean, when he walked away from football, I was like, uh-oh, is he going to be? So we're hoping to see, old Laurinaitis is, you know, I forgot his first name. I was hoping to see him, you know, in the wrestling ring soon.
I think it's John Laurinaitis.
Yeah, John Laurinaitis. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I know Animal's his dad.
Yes.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, I thought he would have been a really good fit for the Seahawks.
Boy, that yes, I agree. John Laurinaitis,
yep.
The Seahawks, boy, yeah, yep.
Oh yeah, you know, and And when everyone was bitching and whining about Colin Kaepernick, I'll just say it right now. Like, for people that never put on a helmet and a pair of shoulder pads, please shut your mouth, because you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I'm looking at it as a team standpoint. Yeah, Colin Kaepernick would have been a really good backup for Russell Wilson. But we already got a really good backup, so that's what's AKA, we didn't need Kaepernick. But Kaepernick deserves to play. And he does. He deserves to play. I don't care what anyone else says. He kneeled for the national anthem. Hey, you know, it was all about the police brutality. That's what he was. He wasn't disrespecting the flag in any sort of way. It was just the treatment that, you know, that people were getting from the police. I mean, we're the ones that pay their taxes and pay their services.
We do pay the taxes, yes.
Yeah, and their services to uphold the law. But when it's police brutality like this, it's extremely ridiculous that, you know, that young African-American kids are dying because, you know, because they're bigoted cops. If I was conducting police training, yeah, maybe I would have took them to the Holocaust Museum or, you know, and really said, you know, hate is not the answer. Just because you wear a badge don't mean you can display your prejudice. I mean, I told a person the other day, put your prejudice in your back pocket. And if you saw on my Facebook page, there was two MCs. There was a white MC and there was a black MC. White MC was talking about the stereotypes. You know what? What white people would think of black? And same thing, vice versa. Saying that, you know, the white rapper is like, oh, you have to go and sell drugs. I was like, yeah, well, there's a reason for that. Everything, good or bad, has a reason. And they both actually, when I looked at their message, I mean, when I really looked at what they were talking about, it was a message. It's 2017, heading into 2018. There is no room, absolutely, positively, no room for hatred. And that's what's really kind of, you know, it kind of wears a lot of stuff down because it really makes us as a country look bad, and foreign people, you know, and the whole free world laughing at us. I'm sorry, but when I was growing up, America was strong, dominant, and, you know, we took care of business. And now today, we're like a laughingstock in the world, and we shouldn't be a laughingstock at all. I mean, pretty much it's like if we're handing the power to Russia. I'm sorry, but I don't want to hand no power to nobody.
Keep the people local, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, I mean, yeah, us Americans, yeah, we're dominant, we're good people, you know, I mean, I don't want to walk through a foreign land like Thailand and being called the ugly American. None of us want that.
No, that wouldn't be good. Randy, if Randy the Pimp Taylor was on a show called Black Jeopardy, and one of the categories was they out here saying, could you see Randy saying to his ex-pimpette Sarah, they out here saying, you ain't putting in the hours. You better stand on this street corner for 8 hours because I need my Sizzler coupons.
He's like, yeah, he's saying, I know Pimp would say this. Pimp's like, it's like, you better not pay attention to them and give me my Sizzler coupons.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, as you know, Sarah and the Pimp parted ways. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a kind of tragic. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I heard something about that, which, hey, you know,
Maybe she didn't want to get on up and get those his little coupon. She wanted to get on up and get something better.
Yes. Okay. Well, Randy, certain memory foam mattresses are a hot item this Christmas season. Memory foam mattresses contour to the shape of your body, and in the case of pillows, your neck and head. My question is, are there any truths to the rumors that in 2018 you plan to sneak into the ring with a miniature memory foam mattress, hit Ian Bear upside the head with it, and then in a following match use the same memory foam and his facial profile to hit him again with the perfect facial profile outline?
Oh, man. I'm not sure how well that would sell. But
I think you could sneak in a miniature memory foam mattress into your trunks and then into the ring, yes.
I think the three of them would probably be hibernating. You know, I'll just get the easy 1, 2, 3, and he'll still be sleeping, and my hand would be raised and getting out of the ring immediately, because you know them bears when they get woke up for no reason at all.
Oh, okay. Well said. Very good. Okay. Well, Randy, you might not know this, but back in the early 80s, 82 and 83 to be exact, Paul Moonshine, myself, and Coach Mike Jones were in a big hair band that patterned our looks after Warrant, Cinderella, and Great White. When we were playing in a new town, or mostly pool halls and biker bars like Uncle Sam's Tavern in Spanaway, or someone's backyard, you would ultimately hear one fan say to the other, "Whose popular demand was this?" And another fan would say, "The last town they visited." Yes,
oh,
it's true.
Man. Nice. Nice. Y'all was in the air, man? Oh, snaps. Now, that's news to me.
Yes. I think we laid the groundwork for NWA myself. Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Yes, it's Coach Mike Jones and Paul Moonshine. I'll send you a link to our band. Yes. Okay.
All right. Yes, indeed. Oh, I gotta see this.
All right, well, thank you for playing Black Jeopardy with us, and I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy.
All right.
Thank you, QT. Well, Randy, we got a short time left, and I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you got, merchandise, upcoming appearances, social medias, your favorite grocery store, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, actually, I'd like to take this time to say in Northwest Pro Wrestling, as I said before, December 9th at the Key Peninsula Civic Center, it's going to be rocking. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be great. If you haven't seen Northwest Pro Wrestling, now is your opportunity to get on up and come to the Key Peninsula Civic Center December 9th, doors open at 6:30, show starts at 7 o'clock on the dot. And if you're in the Seattle area, I know 321 Battles having a show tonight, and I know I want to say, I'm not sure when CPW is going to have their next show, but you guys can look that up on Facebook, get on up and Evolve Fitness. Yeah, CPW, now that's where some people be playing and be wrestling too. And there's also CCW out in Spokane, Washington.
I'll be in that match in a four-way elimination match. You can look up CCW, and they gladly give you the information right then and there. You can follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and I heard rumor Twitter. And and I know there's other promotions that are going to be doing some kind of deck the hall ball stuff like that. Get on Facebook, Instagram, and go see those wrestling shows and have a good time. And I know WCWC is having their 24-hour show, and I know a couple buddies of mine are going over there, and I know they're going to tear the house down, and I can't wait to hear some stories. Maybe we can get some of those WCWC guys to come on up to NWP and show us what's up. And, and I have to say, this has been a really good show, and I greatly appreciate you guys having me on. And, if you haven't looked up Out the Neck of the Woods, entertainment.com, that's my brother's record company. You guys can listen to some good music and download some music if you like, and also Kitsap County Uncut. That'll be on your public access channels every Friday night at midnight. You can see the sweet lovely Miss Tech Talk and D-Mac Uno, and you can also hear Track Talk Radio at tracktalkradio.com. And also, I know David Olivas is having a show down at the Charleston. I believe it's on the 9th as well, December 9th, at the Charleston on Callow in Bremerton, Washington. And I believe it's an all-ages show, and you'll be seeing a lot of local hip-hop artists. I think some R&B, I'm not sure, but I'll be at the Keeping It Civic Center. Me and Mikey Z will be defending our tag team titles. And if I can have a chance to sneak away and get down there, I'll be down there as well, promoting that. So that's all I got, and I greatly appreciate you guys having me on the show.
As usual, it was our pleasure to have you. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on short notice today. Fans, if you get the chance, get out there, buy a ticket to see Randy Zellers whenever he's in action. Buy some of the new T-shirts once they become available at merchandise tables. Get out there tonight. Find yourself some wrestling. Go support a show. There's lots happening tonight. Lots up here in our region in the Pacific Northwest and all across North America. So get out there and support your local pro wrestling companies and the local pro wrestlers in your region. We'll be back with you Sunday. Granite is going to be our guest on Sunday. First time ever we have had Granite on the show. Should be very interesting. We will talk to you Sunday.
Yep.
Get on up. Once again, George Lang, you'll smoke like your grandmother.
To underneath your ground, a desolate.